الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم البيعان بالخيار ما لم يتفرقا فإن صدقا وبينا بورك لهما في بيعهما وإن كتما وكذبا محقت بركة بيعهما صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Madina Munawwara, then he did an amazing thing. He linked trade to spirituality. He linked business, buying and selling. And instead of it being just a matter of this dunya, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam linked business activities to the akhirah. And he made it such that the economic policy of the sharia was underpinned by good ethics, honesty, transparency, integrity. And if a person inculcated these habits in his business practices, then he would have a good spiritual outcome. But if a person was dishonest, he was cheating, he was fraudulent, he had immoral activities, then this would result in harming his spirituality. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Madina Munawwara, and we need to understand that in Makkah Mukarrama, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was restricted as a minority, and a minority under oppression, occupation. It was difficult to have comprehensive economic policies in Makkah Mukarrama. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Madina Munawwara, he went to the marketplace that was there prevalent at the time. And we need to understand that the Ansar of Madina Munawwara were primarily farmers. They would cultivate the land, and the business and the trade and the marketplace was controlled by the Jews. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to inspect the marketplace of the Jews, he found that this place was inappropriate for the Muslims. Why? From amongst many reasons, there was dishonesty, there was inflated prices, there was fraud, corruption, interest-based transactions, excessive interest-based transactions. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt that this was not an appropriate place for the Muslims to carry out their business. And let us fast forward 1400 years and look at the marketplaces around the world and who controls the marketplaces and how the same form or same forms of evils are prevalent, maybe with different names. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established a separate marketplace for the Muslims. And this marketplace, this souk, had these good principles of honesty and integrity embedded in them. As a result, we found that these marketplaces flourished, and you found that not only was the akhirat made, but you saw Sahaba radiallahu anhum, like Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhum, coming out of these marketplaces with a lot of wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have mentioned that At-tajiru as-saduqul amin, that a truthful, trustworthy businessman will be raised in which category? not amongst the VIPs of this dunya, not amongst the Bill Gates and the Mark Zuckerbergs and the others of this dunya, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that ma'an nabiyyin, that this truthful, honest trader will be raised, this trustworthy trader will be raised amongst the anbiya, wasiddiqeen, amongst the truthful ones, and amongst the martyrs. On the other hand, on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was passing through the marketplace, and he addresses the sahaba and he says, Ya ma'ashara tujjar, O assembly of traders, O group of businessmen. And the hadith mentions that these people that were engaged in trade, they turned very attentively to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, awaiting this advice, because he had prefixed this address with Ya ma'ashara tujjar, addressing them as O businessmen, indicating that perhaps he may have some very valuable advice to give to the businessman. And what was this advice? It wasn't advice about how to price your product and how to market your product and how you should carry out the transaction. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is drawing their attention to akhirah. And he mentions that inna tujjara yub'athuna yawm al-qiyamah, that most of the traders of the businessmen will be raised on the day of Qiyamah as the evil ones, as the sinful ones. Except, and he gives three exceptions, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who do good, they are charitable, and those who are truthful. So we find that, why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlight the fact that many businessmen would be raised as evil ones? Because in business, people may swear false oaths, they may overly praise their products, they may engage in certain types of transactions that are impermissible, they may hide the defects of the products that they have, they may engage in interest-based transactions. So the majority or many of them will be raised as sinful ones, except those that have these qualities. What are these qualities? We glean from these ahadith. And before we get to those qualities, an interesting point. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Damat Barakatuhu, mentions with regards to these two ahadith that there's an apparent contradiction. On the one hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about and he's praising the traders, the businessmen, and they will be with the anbiya, and they will be with the martyrs, and with the truthful ones. And on the other side, he's saying many of them are going to be raised as sinful people. So in reality, Hazrat Damat Barakatuhu mentions that there is no contradiction. Because in business, you get two types of people. You get those that are honest, those that are transparent, those that have got good morals and ethics. And then you have those that are evil. Those that are only looking at the bottom line, those that are looking at their profit, how it comes, which way it comes, whether there is lies, fraud, cheating, late payments, non-payments, they don't worry about that. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, and this comes in Bukhari in more than one place, and it's a lengthy hadith, we'll just discuss the last part of the hadith, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that when two people are engaging in a transaction, and فَإِنْ بَيَّنَا وَصَدَقَ, if they are open and transparent about the deal, and they are honest and they are truthful, بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا, there will be barakah in the transactions of theirs. What does this mean? When they are open, that if there's a defect in the product, they highlight that defect. How are they going to pay? When are they going to pay? They are completely honest and truthful. But on the other hand, فَإِنْ كَتَمَا وَكَذَبَا, that if they conceal certain aspects of the transaction which would be harmful to the counterparty, and they are lying, they are dishonest, then what is the outcome? مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا, the barakah, the blessings of that transaction is completely destroyed and obliterated. So we find that trade gives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us both a dunyawi and an ukhrawi benefit and harm. That if I do my trade in the right way and I have these qualities mentioned in this ahadith, what are these qualities? Honesty. I am honest. Trustworthiness. At-tajiru as-saduqul amin. A trustworthy, truthful trader. Trustworthiness, amanat dari, is something that is leaving our community. What does it mean that when a person leaves something with me as a trust, perhaps he has given me the goods in advance without me paying. Or he has left some money with me. Or he has disclosed some confidential information to me. Am I using that confidential information in such a way that is going to cause harm to him and betraying that trust? So Rasulullah ﷺ is telling us that the qualities of a good businessman is firstly that they are truthful, secondly that they are trustworthy, thirdly that they are open and transparent in their deals. We find that on one occasion Rasulullah ﷺ was passing through the marketplace and he came across a person that was selling some food items. Barley, wheat. So it's piled up in a heap. Nowadays, perhaps we may not have seen that, but in those days you would sell barley, wheat, and eatable items. It would be piled up and customers would come. So he comes there and Rasulullah ﷺ, he puts his hand into the pile of this food item. And when he takes it out, he finds that his fingers are moist. So he says to this person that, what is this? Oh trader, what is this? So the person then discloses and he says that, you know, there was some rainfall, etc. that had come and the bottom part of it had gotten wet. But what he was trying to do, this trader, is that he wasn't disclosing this defect in the product and the top looked very nice, it was dry, it looked like a premium product. So Rasulullah ﷺ says to him that man ghashana falaysa minna. That person that deceives us, then he is not from amongst us. That person that deceives us, he is not from amongst us. That is why one of the qualities that Rasulullah ﷺ is mentioning here is that a person has to have openness and transparency in his transaction. Now let us look into our own lives and our own business practices. How often we find that, for example, a person is selling a vehicle and he knows that it's an accident damaged vehicle, but he sells it as if there is no accident damage and he fails to disclose that to the customer, thinking that if I have to sell and disclose the fact that this is an accident damaged vehicle, the price is going to go down by 50,000, by 100,000. But what he fails to realize, that by going against this good business practice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has highlighted of openness, of honesty and transparency, that he is now failing to disclose and he is hiding the defect of this item, muhiqat barakat bay'ihima. That the barakah from that transaction is being totally obliterated. In fact, the harm, the dharar that he will experience will be far worse than that 50 or 100,000 which apparently he believes that he is getting by selling a defective product. So you will find from all of these qualities, respected elders and brothers, that one of the underpinning economic philosophies of the Sharia is that there is concern for the well-being of the counterparty in the transaction. Any transaction. Here we are talking about buying and selling. But if we hire a person, if we hire a vehicle, if we hire a home, if we have to hire something from somebody else, if we have to give a loan to somebody, if somebody has given us a loan, in all of these transactions where there are two parties, counterparties as we call them in conventional terms, then you will find that the Sharia places a lot of emphasis on concern for the well-being of the counterparty. Our Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayh, when discussing this topic of business integrity and honesty, he mentioned a beautiful hadith wherein there was a very pious person from amongst the Banu Israel, and this person had borrowed 1,000 gold coins. And at the time of concluding the transaction, the lender, he asks this person that, what will be your guarantee for this loan that I am giving you? So this person didn't have any guarantee, so he said that Allah will be my guarantee. So he says, very well, who will be your witnesses to this transaction? Now these are very important guidelines for us when we borrow money or we lend money. Quran speaks about it. It is permissible for there to be some security or some guarantee. And very importantly, when we have these transactions, we should make sure that it is reduced to writing. One of the longest verses of the Quran discusses and encourages a person to reduce a debt transaction to writing. In fact, Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali mentions nowadays, with the amount of business disputes that we have, it is incumbent that all debt transactions should be properly documented and reduced to writing. Nevertheless, this person asks, who will be your witnesses? So he says that Allah will be my witness. So the lender says, very well, you have spoken the truth, no problem, I will lend you the money. Now the date to repay this money comes. And it so happens on that day that there is a flood, there's heavy rains. So the person, this pious person now that has to go and pay the money, he becomes parishan because he has to cross a river to be able to pay his creditor on time. And Hazrat mentions this was the quality of the people of that time, that there was a concern in their hearts that I need to make this payment on a certain date. It shouldn't be that I cause takleef to my creditor and I don't pay them on time. So this person, he makes a plan, he gets a piece of hollow wood, he carves it out, he puts 1,000 gold coins in there and he writes a note and he says that I apologize, I was on my way to pay you but I could not make it across the river and I am placing my trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I am placing this in the river. And when he places it in, he makes a dua and he says, oh Allah, this person asked me for a guarantee, he asked me for witnesses and I said Allah will be my guarantee, Allah will be my witness. Now I have to pay him on this date and you know that I cannot go, so make it such that this money reaches him. And he places his trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he sends it away. Now you and I shouldn't do this here. Of course, if we have this, our tawakkul is not of that level. And you say to somebody that, you know what, there were floods, there was storming, there was riots, DSW was striking, so I couldn't come and pay you the money. So I put it in a bag and I put it in my post box. It will be gone. So, nevertheless, now when the flood subsides, this person, he's still concerned. He doesn't know whether it has reached the creditor. There was no WhatsApp, no EFT, SMS that comes to say that your payment has been received. So he takes another thousand gold coins and he goes to meet this person. And when he meets him, he explains the situation and he says to him that, "Bhai, you know what, this is what happened, but I still have the money here to give it to you." Now you have to ask yourself, you and I, if we erroneously received an EFT, will we say anything about it? Somebody sends, mistakenly they send you 1,000 gold coins, can be, you know, close to 1 million rands. We keep quiet. Oh, I didn't receive it. Jazakallah, he takes the next gold coin. Hazrat mentions that, look at the honesty of the creditor as well. He says, no, I received the money. The money came to me, I received it, so you don't have to pay me. So Hazrat mentions and he comments on this hadith and he says that when our honesty, our openness, our transparency in our transactions will be of this level, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with so much of barakah in our transactions. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, who is our imam in fiqh, what we may not know is that he was also a very big businessman. He was a cloth merchant. And on one occasion, he had received a consignment of cloth that had some defect in it. So he mentioned to his salesman that, please, if this is being sold, make sure that the defect is disclosed. And he left him and he carried on to continue teaching. And when he came at the end of the day to find out about the day's transactions, and he inquired from this salesman that, did you disclose this defect? The salesman said, sorry, I forgot to disclose this defect. Imam Sahib became extremely perturbed. What did he do? He goes out, he searches for this individual. He tries to find the buyer of the goods so that he can say to him, and he mentions to him that, look, there was this defect in the transaction, in the goods, in the quality of the goods. If you wish, you can return the consignment to me, or if you wish, you can keep it with the defect. So we find that this was the quality of amanatdari, this was the quality of sidq, of truthfulness, of trustworthiness amongst our pious predecessors. And therefore we found that in their transactions, even though they may have had one or two transactions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed so much of barakah in those transactions. Again, we come back to our situation. We are selling expired stock. We are selling defective stock. When it comes time for us to pay our creditors, we're ducking, we're diving, we're dodging. We are going on nafil umrah, nafil hajj. We are going on tabligh to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are not paying our creditors on time. When it comes to the transaction, we are fraudulent. We are cheating. We are deceiving. We are not concerned about what is the source of these goods, whether it comes from the A route or the B route or the C route. It doesn't matter. Our focus is on profit. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is highlighting to us that our focus should be on the akhirah. There's another hadith wherein Rasulullah, where it is mentioned that there was a person in the marketplace who was making a claim, and he was saying that, you know, this item that I'm selling, so and so has offered me such a high price for it. Such a high price for it. When in reality, he had not offered him that price. On that occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Verily, those who have purchased using their oaths and their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have purchased a paltry gain, something very small. They will not have a share in the akhirah. They will be destroyed in the akhirah. So you and I also need to be concerned about these business practices. In summary, we spoke about the comprehensiveness of our deen and the fact that there are certain underlying principles of honesty, of integrity, of openness, of transparency, When we have these in our business transactions, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that at-tajiru as-saduqul amin, that these traders, they will be raised in the company of the anbiya, in the company of the shuhada, in the company of the siddiqeen, the truthful ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us in our business transactions and bless us with the barakah in all of our transactions. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.